Yeah, and it is that sense of how these. I think what's interesting throughout the whole teaching is that sense of the ordinary and the transcendent actually together all the time. In the same way, I was just saying, like the emotion and the rational together. And it's not, and the ritual, because even because you start thinking about it a bit more, in reality, so much of even our keeping of precepts can become a ritual. And we have to imbue it with emotion, with meaning, with purpose, with understanding. Our meditation can, you can you sit there and just breath in, breath out, breath. When am I going to get peaceful and have and get enlightened? I mean, we have to make it come alive. And the same with our investigation and contemplation. We can't just say, okay, impermanent, unsatisfactory, not self-impermanent. I mean, it's true, but it doesn't transform the emotion. The heart has to be there too. So, yeah, that it's that balance is needed to be attended to. And it's when we get that balance that a kind of illumination or clarity or release, relinquishment really happens. And of course, similarly with the taking on board these very ordinary circumstances of our life. It's like in Jnaniko's reading of the verse, which is it comes up in I mean, it was Sakya, the god, but then it's the Buddha says it comes in the Dhammapada, impermanent or all conditioned things having arisen, they pass away. And it's a chant that we do at all funerals. Yes. And use it in different circumstances, reflecting, yeah, there in their ceasing is peace, wu pasam also got, and happiness. So but it's that recognizing of that pervasive nature of impermanence, of change, of uncertainty, and you say it's incredibly ordinary, but when it's seen with the heart that's open and ready, that's penetration could happen.